Saturday morning. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Saturday, April 27th, 2024. And this is the first hour of my show called Thought Crime Live. And you're a thought criminal just by listening to me. I have to warn you guys about that now. I mean, it started out as kind of a joke to make, but now they're putting us on the list. And just for thinking for yourself these days, then you will make the list as a thought criminal. And like I said, this is Republic Broadcasting Network. I want to remind everybody that Republic Broadcasting is listener supported. And I mean, RBN. Yeah, I heard people talk about an RBN family, and it did. It seemed like that. Someone said that they depend on the listeners and each other here, and I do appreciate that. Someone I was on, I did a stream with them this week, and that was the way that Thomas actually his name described it. He felt like RBN was his family, and I can relate that. When I first started RBN, I was not as familiar with it, but you guys mean a lot to me. But I want to remind you that the only way RBN stays on the air is with y'all's help. So if you can keep Mr. Stad Miller's neighborhood alive and fund free speech, okay? I found that the number is 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719, extension 3. If you can make a donation to RBN by debit or credit card, if you set one up every month, that really helps them plan their budget too. Just whatever. And I know some people, we've just been through financial hard times ourselves, and everybody seems to be getting hit with inflation. But if you're able, please help RBN stay on the air. And that's 800-724-2719 at extension 3. And if you want to be an anonymous thought criminal like myself and you mail some cash or a check or money order made payable to RBN to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And I'll give that again. 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Hey, we greatly appreciate it, folks. And another thing you can do is support the advertisers of RBN, one of which is the Dixie Republic. And that is where I actually met my guest this morning, Kyle McDermott. I've had Kyle on before. He wrote a book called The Declaration of White Independence. And this was back, I think we only did 1 hour last time, but we're going to go through, I'm going to let Kyle talk about his book, and I'm really, thought crime is fighting back, okay? I don't have so much of an agenda except that we got to do the best we can. You know, I want to encourage y'all to do what you can at where you are. And this guy wrote this book, and has been a regular at these events that we have at the Dixie Republic, and that's been very encouraging. Both things have been very encouraging to me, the events that we have and the fact that people have written books and are speaking out, and I've gotten to interview some of them. So, Kyle, thanks very much for joining me. Let me let you introduce yourself a little better to the audience.
Oh, thank you for having me on your show, Stephen. I appreciate it very much. And like I said, this is my second time here. I wrote the book back in 2008, and it was banned a few times, and so announcing it's the third edition. And I'm happy to be here to talk about it. As far as introducing myself, I'm just an American patriot, and I don't buy into all the name-calling that patriots get accused of being. I don't think any of us should. You know, none of us, nobody of goodwill is a racist or an anti-Semite or all these other ridiculous labels that they slap on you just to stifle dissent and stifle free and open debate, which is all we really want. Because I think in the marketplace of ideas, we would win every time if there was a level playing field. But there's not a level playing field. You've got the deep state, you've got the globalists, you've got all these different interest groups that are united. And they have one main primary goal, which is to silence us, jail us, and to dispossess us of everything, not just politically, but socially, culturally, genetically, economically, geographically. I mean, you name it, and they're out to get us. And they're doing a hell of a job of it. I think they may have overplayed their hand a little bit, and we can talk about that today, too. But as far as me, that's my background really isn't too relevant. Don't want to get into it too much, other than to say that I'm just disgusted with the way things are going, and I don't think I'm alone. I think anybody listening to this show is going to be pretty disgusted also with the state of affairs in this country.
That's probably a very good assumption, because most of the people that I've met through RBN, they're very aware of what's happening. You know, and I would say a patriot is a person defending their rights and the rightful liberty. That's what the patriot really boils down to. That's what I like that we did the Declaration of Independence. To me, that was the original intent of our quote unquote founders. You know, I've come to learn that the Constitution was not what they advertise it to be. That's a topic for another show, but it's come to the point now, just as it did back then when the colonists, we'll say, were under the boot of the empire. Now we're under that same empire.
Yes,
that same empire is what took control with the Constitution, and now it has gone on and conquered the South again in the first Bolshevik Revolution.
The second Bolshevik Revolution, arguably, probably was 1913, when you had the income tax instituted and the popular election of senators. That seemed to be a turning point. The IRS was established, and I think there was at some point along the line, sometime after the War of Northern Aggression, there was a second coup that the global estate sort of was born, and it's been growing and metastasizing ever since that time, and it's gotten larger and bigger and larger and bigger, and they've induced economic crises, they've instigated world wars, they've killed off a lot of our best people in these fratricidal bloodbaths, and they've just kept, it's a one-way ratchet effect, they've just kept working at it and working at it and working at it to the point now where they've got all the power and control centralized in the deep state, and this is not a representative government. This government doesn't represent the people. It's an occupation regime. It's a centralized tyranny. It's a centralized tyranny that's holed up in the D.C. swamp, and it occupies us. It drains our treasury. It drains our blood, and it drains our spirit, all for their damnable global empire. And if you look at the events going on right now with the Palestinian protests on campuses across the country right now, you see where the real power is. The real power isn't in the people. It's not in the governor. It's in the Zionist lobbies and these globalist deep state three-letter agencies that are just tyrannizing us. And there's no justice or rule of law. It's the agenda. It's the capital A agenda all the way. That's all that it is. It's a disgrace to be an American at this point in history. This is the evil empire.
Empire. I completely agree with you, and I would have to correct one point. It was actually Lincoln that had the Internal Revenue Service was actually the first time established by Lincoln during the war. But yeah, you're right. In 1913, it just went on exponentially.
The income tax was established in 19. I'm sorry. The income tax was established in 1913.
Yes, sir. Right. Yeah, but they had that during the War of Northern Aggression too. That was the first time. And since you mentioned that, I highlighted this in your book. It says you call out the war on terror, that's not really a war on terror. And then you say there is, however, one very real war that is today raging everywhere on this planet. And you say it is the war on spirit. The war on spirit is an organized, elite-driven assault on the peoples of mankind, their respective freedoms, environments, homelands, cultures, belief systems, dignity, and independence. Economic mechanism materialism is at war with organic vitalism and spiritualism, and you know that I agree with that completely. That's what's going on around us. And when I was this is very interesting. I don't know whether to call it a manifesto or just what you've written here. It a lot of it resonated with me. And you had an interesting concept to me. I mean, people will argue about whether the world was created and who and all that, but they have said that there's this big bang. You know, that there's this big bang, and people will think, oh, well, what was that? What was there before is another question. But I had never heard your take on this until I read it in the book. What did you call what was there that blew up?
Well,
A seed, yes, right? Yes.
Yes, a seed. But just to recharacterize the way we think about these things, and this is how deeply ingrained that we've been programmed by the educational system, is that, and again, in my opinion, this is my opinion because it's beyond mortal knowledge to really know these things, mm-hmm. but it doesn't seem to me correct to say it blew up. That singularity or that very hot, dense state that existed at the very beginning of time and space, at the beginning of the universe, to say that it blew up is, I think, a mischaracterization. I think that expansion is best characterized as a sprouting, as opposed to an explosion. And just to tie into how in the world does this fit in with the Declaration of White Independence? And just to tie it in a neat little segue here, one of the most famous lines from the Declaration of Independence is, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." That is what Jefferson wrote. But if anyone were to read my rewrite of the Declaration of Independence, they would see what Jefferson really meant was that all the peoples of mankind are created morally equal. That's what Jefferson really meant. Not that all men are literally physically created equal. The deep state, the globalist regime that's lording it over us, has pumped that mischaracterization and that misunderstanding into our young people's minds, and have beaten that they've used that line that all men are created equal as a weapon against us. Mm-hmm. And it's not even what Jefferson meant, because even in the Declaration of Independence, Jefferson refers to the Native Americans as Indian savages, and he obviously doesn't believe that all men are literally created equal. What he really meant, and if you read the Declaration in closely, you'll see that he meant that all the peoples of man. He was an ethno-nationalist. They all were, a founding fathers.
Yes.
And
yes.
So what he's talking about is the conception that all the peoples of, and this is my rewording, all the peoples of mankind are created morally equal, meaning that all the peoples of mankind, whether they're in South America, Europe, Asia, Africa, wherever, they all have an inalienable right to a homeland, to perpetuate their kind, and to have a future, and to procreate themselves, and to go forward in this world, in this universe, as they see fit, and that's their God-given right to do so. It doesn't mean that we're all literally equal. That's even beyond asinine. That's just a propaganda tool to beat us over the head. I mean, if you look, and I'll get to the big C in just a second, but if you look at multiculturalism, the conception of multiculturalism, the essence of multiculturalism is that each of the peoples of mankind carry their culture with them as biological baggage. So how, if that, it has to be that way. There's no other way to look at it, because otherwise multiculturalism doesn't make any sense. So if all the peoples of mankind carry their culture as biological baggage, how are we literally equal? We cannot be literally equal. You can't have it both ways. It's impossible. It's the same thing as when you talk about the idea of race. Well, I tell you, race exists when it's in the best interests of Asians or Hispanics or Blacks. When the conception of race is in their interest, for example, affirmative action, you bet your bottom dollar race exists. But somehow, when the interests of whites are in question, race doesn't exist. This is it. It's everything's weapon. Not just the law. Everything's weaponized. A philosophy's been weaponized. Ideologies. Everything is weaponized against us. And so, just to tie this back into the Big Bang and what I'm talking about in terms of the beginning of the universe, if you want to look at the cells in your body and the world and the planet Earth and the solar system and the galaxy and the universe, and you look back in time and you realize that every single thing that you can see or think of came from an incredibly hot, dense point, about the size, smaller than the size of a pea, and it expanded and it cooled from that dense hot point, and it expanded and cooled in such a way as to enable the formation of the solar system and the galaxies, the DNA code and life and consciousness and sentience. And in order for that to happen, how in the world could an educated person believe that that came about as unguidedness or randomness? It's obviously, in my opinion, it's obviously the mark of the Creator. We are children of the light, and the Creator has put in motion this universe so that we could evolve within it and pursue our destiny in our own way, as Jefferson laid out in the Declaration. And that's our God. That's our inalienable right, our God-given right. And those rights come from the Creator, because we come from the Creator. The universe is a work of art and it was put in motion at the moment of the big seed. I don't call it the Big Bang because the Big Bang implies an explosion, and I don't think it was an explosion. I think it was an ordered expansion, a punctuated ordered expansion of space, time, matter, energy, teleology, and it resulted in our existence today. And we can trace our existence back to the act of creation. And the fingerprint of the Creator is on everything. It's in our DNA code. It's in nature. And this is why the deep state wants to pump these lies down our throats and make us think that we're nothing but highly evolved pond scum. Because then, if you can convince people that they're nothing but highly evolved pond scum, then they lose their connection to the Creator, and they lose the conception that their rights come from the Creator, and that they're God-given, and that they're precious, and they're divine.
So, there's the first break, Kyle. Okay, we'll be right back, Thought Criminals.
Okay.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Criminals, you're listening to Thought Crime Live on Republic Broadcasting Network. And while I'm thinking about it, let me mention there also is a chat room if you guys would like to interact in the chat room. It's tclsdw.chitango.com. That's tclsdw.chitango.com. It's the initials of Thought Crime Live, Stephen Douglas Whitener. And I forgot to mention that earlier, and we were back in the cosmology and the difference between a world of made and a world of born, I guess, is one way to put it. But, you know, the materialistic that we've been attacked by, and you go into that a lot, too. Let me toss it back to you, because I think that's very important that you say that, and that you say that the peoples, the race of peoples, the tribes, have the right, God-given right, to preserve their kind. You know, and that you can't help but feel as a target on your back if you're a white Christian male, especially.
Oh, you've got a bullseye on your back the size of this, the size of an archery target. You know, I mean, you're basically, and that, here's the problem too. One of the problems is you're fair game at this point. We're fair game. I mean, there's no one standing up for us or representing us or protecting us like there used to be in this country. Look, President Biden. What is he, President? The usurper, Biden, what does he say? He says the problem with this country are white people, that we're the terrorists, that we're the threat to national unity. We're the threat to national unity. You know, I see the congressmen on the floor of the House waving the Ukrainian flags while they're giving away our treasury, the future of our children, to the globalist deep state project over there in Ukraine. And it makes my blood boil to see those treasonous scum, you know, who don't represent us. They represent this. The military-industrial complex, the Zionist global lobby—they represent everybody but us. And they go on television with a smile on their face, and they lie through their teeth, and they wave the Ukrainian flags, and they give away tens of billions of dollars, and they act like they're noble, and they're the pond scum. If there's pond scum in this universe, it's them.
I agree. It is obvious to anyone that can, well, just open their eyes and look at it, that is an occupational government.
Oh,
And it goes way back, too, farther back than I realized. I mentioned that before, but especially all the way back to the Second War of Independence, when they completely crushed what was left of rightful liberty in this country, you know, and went on from there, like you said, to create this empire that, and now all around the world, our military bases, people, they hate us. They laugh at us. We're so stupid that we got the election stolen from us, and that we, you know, and there's so many people out there saying, stand with Israel while they're doing this. We're the joke of the world in a lot of ways right now. And then a lot of people here don't realize that. Some foreign friends of mine have pointed out, hey, you know, you guys really have fallen, so to speak, in the world's eyes.
Well, rightfully so. I mean, the world. I agree. I think the world is correct in its perception of us, that we've fallen. And one of the many great shames of what's happened, what's been done to us, is, you know, we had this continent was blessed. We had two, well, we still have them, but we have vast oceans, the Pacific and the Atlantic, on either side, west and east. We've got a beautiful, peaceful, what was a beautiful, peaceful country to the north in Canada, and an easily defensible border to the south of Mexico. We had vast natural resources, and we had a highly intelligent, cohesive ethno-state, primarily of European peoples in North America. We had everything. We had it made. And look what they've done to us. Look how they debased and degraded everything, how they've destroyed everything. They've taken the idea of liberty and turned us into serfs. They've taken our money and turned it into meaningless paper, fiat currency. They took us off the gold standards, standard. They sent our young people all over the world to die for their empire, and then they pumped us full of BS about how free we are. And meanwhile, we're nothing but we're just slaves on their plantation at this point. That's all that we are. But to go back to what your earlier point about materialism and the Big Bang and so on, they the deep state. First of all, you have to understand, and I think most people do by now, they don't just lie about one thing or two things or three things. They lie about everything. I mean, if you want to talk about the father of the lie, here's the father of the lie. They've been lying about everything since the dawn of time itself. Okay, because the Big Bang, yeah. it wasn't a bang. It wasn't a bang. It wasn't a random expansion of space, time, matter, energy. It was a teleological entity that was put in place by the Creator that's expanded since that moment in time, and as it's expanded and cooled, it's formed planets and galaxies and solar systems, DNA codes and induced life to the point now where there are conscious beings, at least on this planet, and even just this morning I was reading the news and the James Webb telescope has found signs of organic life on a planet because it's detected a molecule that only exists in the presence of life. So you're looking at a universe that itself is alive, it's sentient. In my opinion.
Yes.
So why? And so what the deep state wants is they want us to think that we're just poly-evolved pond scum living in a meaningless, mechanistic, materialistic universe. And the reason they want that is because that takes away our meaning, it takes away our purpose, it takes away our hope, and it takes away any higher aspirations or noble sentiment that we might have. And it turns us into mere. I love animals, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but they're trying to put us in the level of an automatons, just things to eat and fornicate and have no conception of anything higher than that. They cut off our connection to the divine. So that one of the primary things that I try to do in my book is to reestablish the idea that we live in a numinous universe. I mean, the founding fathers and the generations of our people from time immemorial, they viewed the world and the universe as created by God, and that we're living within God's creation. So they had this sense of the divine that we've lost. It's been stripped from us by scientific propaganda and by deep state educational lies and propaganda. If people were to reorientate themselves to the idea that this universe is a living thing that's been put in place by the Creator who loves us, and who is God, they would realize that we exist because of His grace, and therefore we are divine beings made in His image, and we are children of the light. And because of that, we have every right in the world to stand up with our chest out and our spine straight and look the tyrants right in the eyes and say, "Go to hell. Go to hell," because this is our land, this is our country, and we have every right to preserve ourselves and to protect ourselves and our progeny and everything our ancestors bequeathed us, and that's too damn bad if the deep state doesn't like it. They're liars, they're tyrants, they're criminals. They steal elections, and they steal elections. They look at you in the eye and they say, how precious our democracy is and how precious the right to vote is. But meanwhile, they steal elections and they flood this country with third world immigrants who are going to vote Democrat because they want to create a one-party Marxist state. And they want to look at you and tell you that the right to vote is precious. These people are the lowest of the low. And so
I agree with you completely, yeah, sir. Yes,
yeah. And
I do.
So one way to change this perception is to change the way we look at ourselves. We're not just people. Just entities, materialistic objects with no soul, no spirit, and no deeper meaning that have been put here to eat and fornicate and watch television. We're far more than that, but we've been cut off from that. And one of the ways, I think, to get the sense of the divine back is to look at creation for what it really is, which is not the lie that we've been told that it is, but that it's divine. And that it's a work of art that's been created by God for us. And for us to take care of and be stewards of. So that's that's one aspect of the spirituality that I'm trying to reinstitute and bring back. And the thing that's I think is important, and I know a lot of the listeners out there, there's all kinds of listeners with different religious affiliations, but I'm guessing that many of your listeners, Stephen, are Christians. And the thing about this paradigm, this big seed paradigm, is it's perfectly compatible and consistent with Christianity. You know, in the beginning there was light, and God created the earth, and it was good. And so I may be misquoting, but something along those lines. And this really, this dovetails beautifully with that. I'm not trying to tell anybody what their religion should be, and I'm not trying to. Far be it from me to try to lecture. I'm not qualified to preach or lecture in that sense. But what I'm saying is, I'm giving people, Christians, a scientific basis that supports and buttresses their biblical worldview, which is that the universe and the earth is a creation of God, and that we're children of God. And that applies, and that's the other thing I say in my book. And that not just, I mean, it's called the Declaration of Blind Independence, but what I'm saying applies to everybody. In that sense, what I've done is I've universalized the particular, which is not easy to do, but I've done it. And what I mean by that is I advocate for these things for European peoples, but they're equally applicable to everybody. And that's why there's a section of, there's a chapter in my book or an essay in my book entitled On Seizing the Moral High Ground. And the most effective thing you can do to seize the moral high ground is to say, I demand these rights for myself and my people, but I'm more than willing and I'm happy to also give them to everybody else. I'm not a tribal person in the sense that I hate anybody, and I'm not out to get anybody. But I will stand my ground, and I will defend my people and myself, and my land, and my territory, and my country, as I see fit.
I agree. The way to get back in touch with that is to get back in touch with creation itself. I think, and with our families, men in this country have been. They have abdicated their responsibility, their families, all so many, so much that, I mean, when I was younger, the divorce was hard to get, and sure. It, you know, they have, that has been done to us. That's
sure it has.
Now, of course, we complied. I went along with these things too, and that has made it divide and conquer, like you said, all the way down to the sexes, and now
everything.
They're coming at people in their right where they exist. You know, trying to say, "Oh, you're not a man, you're not a woman, right. And that you could be right. anything." They want that. They want to instill that kind of "you can do anything" idea, so that people would turn over to this materialistic, fake ersatz universe, this mm-hmm. matrix that they're trying to create for us, that we can upload you here. Oh my gosh, man, what a con. That is really literally trying to steal people's souls, I believe.
If we had men like Wade Hampton and Jackson and Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee and Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, if we had men, and I'm not one of them, I wish I were, but I try to be, it's a tall order to live up to in this world we're living in today. But if we had men like them, we wouldn't. Do you think for one second that southern border would be open? We would have a posse overnight down there ready to rock and roll. I'll tell you that right now. We have real men in this country.
Well, the problem is that it's not just that southern border, but them flying people in all over the country. I mean, our occupational government is doing more than just that. But you're right. If we had men to stand up to that, it would. And I'm doing my best to stand up to it, too. I appreciate what you're speaking out to. And I try to encourage the listeners here to do whatever they can wherever they are. You know, I don't, and I appreciate you mentioning Wade Hampton too, because there are LARPers out there who would go out and want to call for violence and this and that, you know, and who've never been in a scuffle in their whole life, want to go tell us to go charge the machine guns with ridiculous stuff like that. That is wrong. Wade Hampton, you know, Wade Hampton was a measured, responsible man he didn't even sign this order of secession, but then when it came time to defend his homeland and his people, it was like Trump raising his own army basically to defend the country, because you know he was raising the militia with his own resources. And then during the Reconstruction in 1876, I've been trying to learn more about that too, because that's a similar kind of thing that's happening to us. Well, we need somebody like that again. And they were about to go off again. The State House was surrounded, and they were about to make a very violent act, but they were acting under a false assumption. They thought something was coming that wasn't, and he got them to stand down and just take a breath, and he prevented, I think that probably ensured in some ways that the Reconstruction did end and the troops left. But, you know, a subject of study of mine that I'm not really prepared enough to give the whole details, but Wade Hampton is one of my heroes. I appreciate you mentioning him.
Of course, of course. And it's one of many. And there's a lot of all the Confederates. I mean, I have nothing but respect for them. And then, as I do the original Founding Fathers, but the destruction of the family, the emasculation of men, the emasculation of women, generations of young men being raised by single mothers, you know, and turning everyone into a bunch of drugged out sex addicts. This is why, along with the fact that so many of our best men went and died off in these ridiculous, pointless, fratricidal wars in which there was only one winner, one winner only, the globalized deep state. They won all these world wars, and we lost. We didn't win. Look, I have a hard time believing that those people, the men who stormed Normandy, if they saw what happened, they'd get right in those, they could get back on the boats and turn right back around. They wouldn't have done what they did if they knew what was going to happen to this country and what the winners, the real winners of the war, were going to do to us. Not in a million years. I can't believe they would have done it. But we've been emasculated. The men, that's why we don't have any men. We've killed off most of the good stock was killed off in these pointless, stupid wars. And the rest have been just raised by single mothers and the television and public education. So what, you know, a young man in the United States today, especially if they're a white young man, what chance do they have to grow up and be a man, as opposed to just, you know, just some drugged out a sex addict? Like I said, I mean, it's a very bleak time to be a young man in this country, particularly if you're a young man of European descent. But I'll tell you one thing, though, and I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it to. I'm not trying to. I am plugging my book, but you know, I'm not in it for the money. I'll tell you, if people out there, if you want to stick the system, if you really want to stick it to these bastards, I'll tell you one way to do it. Don't break the law. Don't be violent. Don't get yourself in trouble. Don't get in a fight. Don't do anything that's going to cause you danger or go to jail. It's not worth it. Don't do it. I don't want you to do it. I'm opposed to that. It won't work anyway. But if you want to stick it to them, get a copy of my book and just distribute that. Because I'll tell you right now, you people out there, you can think what you want. But if you get this thing and you read it, you'll see what I mean. If you really want to stick it to the enemy, shove this up their ass. Okay? This will do. And I know I'm being a little bit coarse here, and I apologize. But I want to make this clear. I want to get this point across. You want to fight back? I've given you the weapon, and it's legal, and it's peaceful, and it's moral. I've seized the moral high ground. I own the moral high ground, and I challenge anybody to try to knock me off, because you can't do it.
Well said, sir. You know, I have to agree that that's what we need to do. We need to not do violent things, but be a revolutionary, rededicating the lives to our families and our progeny, and get, you know, that's really where it's at, and that's a great idea to get this book and say, try to get it into a library somewhere. You know, I don't know if anybody would put it in. You could the stuff that they have kids reading in the library now, this sex stuff, it just is disgusting. But I bet if you try to put this, that would be a very interesting test to see if someone would put that in there.
let me. I got a neutral review. Book review by a neutral third party professional book review company, and it's on the back cover of the book. Let me just very quickly read the most relevant part.
Please.
And this is a direct quote. Critique, thoughtful and thought provoking, the Declaration of White Independence by social theorist Kyle McDermott is a unique, inherently interesting, and provocatively iconoclastic read that will have special appeal for students of metaphysics and transcendentalism, making it a highly recommended addition to community, college, and university library philosophy collections and supplemental curriculum studies lists. That is a verbatim quote from the book review that I got, which was a 5-star review. So I'm not just talking, you know, out of my anus here. I'm in print. I back it up. I backed it up in black and white in a book, in letters, and in print. So I'm you know, legitimate. It doesn't mean that I'm necessarily right. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to agree with everything I have to say, but this is a weapon for our people to fight back. And this is a highly effective tool. If you really want to get, if you really want to go at the enemy and get him where it hurts, and when you can knock him off the hill, and you can be on top of the moral high ground, this is the key to do it. And this is why I wrote the book, because right now, if nothing changes and things go on as they are, we're going down.
Oh yeah, that's why I keep doing this. Like you said, not for the money, but because I have grandkids, you know, and I don't want them to grow up in this horror that they have planned for them. They have us as slaves to the debt now. But if they get digital currency and the social credit score and the 15-minute city, I mean, game over with the militarized robots. Yeah,
that's right.
We have to do this now.
Yeah. And they realize that they're racing the clock too, because our people are gradually slowly waking up, and they realize that they're in a race against time also. That's why they've opened the borders. They're flooding this country with immigrants, because they know that the vast majority of these immigrants are going to vote Democratic. So the creation, and this is out in the open now. Tucker talks about it. It's got mainstream, the great replacement, not theory, the great replacement fact, because what the deep state wants to do now, and they want to do it as fast as possible, is create a one-party Marxist state. The United States is going to go the way of South Africa, and the BLM is the African National Congress. And let me tell you something, if you want to see what's in store for your grandkids, take a look at what's going on in South Africa now, because that's what's coming to North America if we don't stop it.
Yes, sir. I agree with that completely. We both, I think, met Mr. Simon Rosh from South Africa, who was at the Dixie Republic event, and he told me that that was what was happening here, that they could, pardon me, they could see parallels with what went on there with what's going on here now. And I had him a few weeks ago. He said in some ways, though, the U.S. is even farther down the road than South Africa is, you know?
Yeah.
They have been dismantling this nation for a long time, and so there's some
time.
Especially in terms of the debt, I think was the main one that he said, that this ridiculous debt that
this debt they have. I mean, these people hate this country to the extent that they hate the founding of the country. They hate the founding fathers who created it. They hate the way that the country was set up, instituted. They hate everything about it, and they take glee in the fact that they're destroying it. They get off on it. They're happy about it. And look how they want to put us in prison. They want to dispossess us and disempower us and cut off, nip our civilization in the bud before we reach the stars. And that's the other aspect that of my book that I think is important, is we're on our way to becoming a stellar civilization, a space species, you know, given time. But they're trying to cut us off at the knees before we get there. I mean, these people are motivated by nothing but resentment and hate. I mean, you want to talk about hate? Who's the real hater here? You know, it's the highly evolved pond scum, is what you can call. I would call them that, because that's what they want us to be. These are the people that in my opinion, they have to go. Because they're not going to, they've got their fangs in our throat so deep that there's this us or them at this point in time.
Yeah.
Because I don't see any goodwill on their part. I mean, you know, look what they're doing with the lawfare. It's pretty obvious they're going for the kill. They sense they've got us, and they're going for the kill right now between the open borders and the debt, and the obliteration of the culture. And the family and our spiritual sense, our religion, everything is under attack right now on all fronts. My book is an antidote, you know, to all this garbage that's coming out. It's not perfect, but I did my best.
Hey, it's a good point to start with, too. We're going to have these conversations with people. And like you said, a lot of them are starting to wake up. So, I mean, I would love to have the book. I'd like to have a Thought Crime Lie bumper sticker, too, that people I have to figure out. They have some. Well, one thing I also do is I will wear the St. Andrew's Cross shirt pretty much wherever I go. I'll wear one of those shirts I got from the Dixie Republic, and I get to, sometimes I will get to have conversations along those lines. I've not gotten any negative feedback yet. It'll be somebody that will comment on it, and you know, I've met like-minded people that way. But if somebody did say something, then I said, well, what do you know about that time in history? And I would, you know, I would try to educate instead of confront. I'm not out there trying to looking for a fight, you know. I just want to display what I believe.
Sure. But it touches upon the double standard that's in going on in the country right now. That's so evident. Is that, you know, if you're in favor of destroying the country, if you're in favor of, you know, sexual perversion or child molestation or drug use or turning criminals loose or chaos in the streets, anarchy, then you get a free pass. You're admired. You know, you're put on a pedestal. But if you believe that this country was founded the way it was founded, that it was noble, that it was good, that it was essentially one of the best hopes for mankind in the history of mankind, if you believe those things, then you're the villain. You're the criminal. You're the thought crime villain. And before we get through this first hour, I just want to quickly mention, if anybody's interested in my book, they can get it at two places. They can get it at DixieRepublic.com, and that's in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. So DixieRepublic.com. The second place they can find it is at Dissident Minds. It's DissidentMindsBooks.com. So it's available at both those locations. So I'll say that just this one time.
We'll mention that again next hour too, please.
Okay.
It's DixieRepublic.com, and they do have that's where I got mine, was DixieRepublic.com, right. And that was Dissident Minds Books. Say that one again, because I hadn't heard that one
before. DissidentMindsBooks.com.
Terrific. I hope some of you guys will take him up on that, and also remember that RBN is listener supported too, and if you help out the Dixie Republic, then in a sense you're helping out RBN too. So yeah, just want to mention that too. I have enjoyed reading it. I've been reading it all year. You know, it was like a little over a year ago that we first. Well, I think we might have met before that, but we discussed.
Yeah.
You were on the show, and oh man, as the last break, folks.
Okay.
We will be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilji. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit, that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Crime Live on Republic Broadcasting Network. And next hour, if you guys, you thought criminals, have some questions for Kyle or myself, we'll take your calls next hour, too. I wanted to mention that. And the number, of course, 512-248-8252. Okay, and now you told folks where they could get it, the Dixie Republic. And we encourage you to get it, like you said, and pass it out. Give one of them away once you read it and like it. We were talking over the break about how it has been banned some places. And, you know, it's really, I mean, that's just ridiculous to me. It is not calling for violence or anything. It's very well thought out and well stated. And you said that about the review on the back. I mean, obviously, yes. It should be obvious to, but no, and that tells a lot about they want to ban any ideas like that. That's if you're white, you got a target on your back, man.
You got a target on your back. And yes. But one of the reasons, and this is a little bit self-laudatory, but I'm going to say it. One of the reasons they want to ban it is because it takes them. I rip the throat, the philosophical throat out of the beast. I take it to them, and when I'm done, there's nothing left of them. There's nothing left of their ideology, their belief system, or anything else they got going on. I take the knife out in the first few pages of the Declaration, the Declaration itself, which I think is the if I remember correctly, I got a copy here. It's the seventh.
Yes,
I think it's the seventh. It's the seventh essay in the book, and by the end of the first three or four pages of that second essay, I've devastated them, and so they haven't banned my book on Amazon. They haven't banned it in Europe. They have banned it on Amazon, and they banned it in Europe, but they didn't ban it because it was evil or called for violence or hatred. It doesn't do any of those things. They banned it because it's effective, because it rocks them to the foundations of their ideology. I expose them for the liars, thieves, crooks, criminals, and usurpers that they are. And I don't take any prisoners, and I don't make any apologies. I'm not going to.
Yeah, and I have seen recently someone suggested that they want to make it illegal for anyone to have a Bible, too. We are living literally in the USSA now, I believe. It's just, this is what it looks like in this technology, in this time period. This is what a Bolshevik revolution looks like. And we're going to have to, well, like you said, we're going to have to fight back like it is. Like people need to realize we are at war.
Yeah, and what's really scary, I mean, there's a lot of scary things going on in this country, in this world, but one of the really scary things is this is Bolshevism with high-tech Bolshevism. I mean, they've got this, the deep state has these, all this technology and all this surveillance ability and the ability to silence people and just turn up a button to turn off your ability to buy and sell, to track you wherever you go, to read your mind. I mean, that technology exists now to actually read your mind. So I'll tell you something, you combine both vision.
Top of the hour break, sir. We'll be back next hour. Thought Criminals, y'all stick around.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.